One of my favorite movies from childhood was Mary Poppins. Jack likes it too. Actually, it is still a favorite of mine. I love the transformation that happens in the lives of Jane and Michael Banks when Mary Poppins comes to be their nanny. Lives that were previously controlled by no's and impossibilities are now full of unexpected and sometimes unbelievable joys. Sidewalk chalk drawings become entries into countryside adventures. Birds aid the magical nanny in getting reluctant children to swallow their medicine. Even laughing can counteract the effects of gravity and allow you to float to the ceiling. One of the many images and lines from Mary Poppins that I carried with me into adulthood is when Mary brings out a tape measure from her carpet bag and measures herself. The measurement reads, "Practically perfect in every way." With this stored in the deep recesses of my mind, it came as no surprise that at the age of 28, when I felt myself near the end of my fragile rope, with one very sick baby and another on the way, living far from home in the foreign country of Louisiana, more than anything, I wanted Mary Poppins to blow in on her umbrella and save the day. At that point, I craved a fairy tale existence where, in the blink of an eye, the doldrums and challenges of life were instantly replaced by the magic of Disney. My life seemed far from perfect, and I yearned for someone to arrive on my doorstep who is practically perfect in every way. And what I got instead was something so much better. At that time, we didn't have a church home, but I knew I wanted my children to be brought up in the church. Through a series of events that many would call coincidences, but I would not, our family landed at St. James Episcopal Church. We didn't get a nanny with a carpet bag full of magic. We got God and his great, big, loving family, which was much more life-giving than anything my mind could have imagined. I was looking for the magic of Disney, but I got the transformation of the resurrection. And as you can possibly tell, that initial experience of the love of God at St. James Episcopal Church in Alexandria, Louisiana, was just the beginning of a journey of transformation that continues to this day. This is my story, and I know you have a story too, about how your life has been transformed by an experience with the risen Christ. A story that involves God's big loving family, maybe even here at Grace Church in Anniston, Alabama. You may be beginning that story of the journey of transformation today, or you may be well into the journey. Wherever you are, the journey of transformation never ends. Today we've heard the resurrection story from the Gospel of John. Mary Magdalene has come to the tomb with the expectation of performing the expected rituals for Christ's body. When she arrives at the tomb, she discovers that the stone has been rolled away and the body is gone. Without hesitation, Mary runs to get the others. She's distraught and distressed. Not only has her teacher and friend been killed, his body has been taken. Peter and the other disciples race to the side of the tomb, discover that what Mary said is true, that the body is not there. In their despair, they turn away and leave, but Mary stays, weeping. Her grief has immobilized her. This was more than she could take. She and the other women had stayed by Jesus until the bitter end. Then, like now, the disciples left. They were able to move on, to let what seemed inevitable be. But not the women. They stayed. They took care of what needed to be taken care of, but now this was just too hard. As Mary stood transfixed with sorrow, she looked to the place where Jesus' body should have been. And instead of the body, she saw angels, messengers from God, who asked why she was weeping. They knew that Jesus' body had not been hidden away. They knew that Mary's tears should have been tears of joy rather than tears of sorrow. We don't know what went through Mary's mind as she attempted to explain to the two celestial beings why she was so sad. Because at that moment, Jesus speaks to her. Her mind is still closed. All she can imagine is that Jesus' body is gone and she has no idea what has happened. She cannot imagine the mystery of the reality of the resurrected Lord. She doesn't recognize him initially, but when she does, the first thing she wants to do is grab hold of him. Her grief turns to amazement and astonishment. I imagine that she felt as though gravity had no hold of her, that she was light as a feather and floating in ecstasy. Jesus instructs her to tell everyone what she has experienced. And so she does. And in doing so, becomes the first to proclaim the good news of the risen Lord and is known as the apostle to the apostles. We don't know the details of how Mary's life changed after this event, but we can be certain that it did. That the journey that began with Jesus healing her of seven demons continued until her dying breath and beyond. Her greatest fears, that her friend and teacher had been killed and that his body was now being hidden or worse by those who wanted him dead, is proven to be wrong. He is alive. He has beaten even death. There's no way to meet this risen Lord and not be transformed. And here we are, on this day of great joy. We've taken the time and the energy to come to hear the story and be fed with the body and blood of the risen Christ. Did we come today wanting the magic of Disney or something more? Because what we get is the reality of one who brings life out of death, who causes new life to spring out of that which seems hopeless, who carries us along our journey wherever we go. Think with me for a moment about the best birthday gift you have ever received. Perhaps it was an item that you had been wanting for a very long time, but could not justify purchasing for yourself. Perhaps your favorite gift was something extravagant. Or maybe the best gift you remember was one that was handmade by a child. Or the gift of time or relaxation. Remember the feelings associated with that gift. Surprise, awe, joy. Remember that feeling in that moment where it seemed like all the planets had aligned and all was right over the world? The gift that we've been given with the resurrection is so much more. Much more than our minds can even fathom. We have been given life, new life, resurrected life. Life on the journey with Christ and with his big, loving family. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The journey never ends. What an amazing family. Amen.